Okay, daf lamed be lamed gimel lamed be is gufa. Malikim bepasu v'shemesh shel chumash shenitmes. You have chumash shenitmes. The halacha is you're allowed to use it for fuel. Chumash shenitmes. You're mechuyev to burn it, and while you burn, you're allowed to do our benefit. Okay, so in fact,
look it for what?
For anything. You're supposed to burn it, and when you're burning it, you're allowed to do our benefit. And the fact is, anyone, if not mistaken, anyone is allowed to do our benefit.
Malikim, you are permitted to light with pas to shemen or shemesh shel chumash.
Right, pas is bread. You have bread, right? You have bread of chum that's tummy. So you mechuyev to destroy it,
right.
Or if you have shemen of chum that became tummy, you mechuyev to destroy it. So while you're destroying, you can do our benefit. The way you can do our benefit is by using it to heat up your oven. You have to remember, in ancient times, it was a big
fuel.
Fuel is a big deal. Fuel, they get for granted. You turn on the stove.
Today it's a big deal also.
Money. Today it's a big deal because of money. It's money. Today it's a big deal of money. But in times of Chazal, it wasn't just money. It was slave labor. It was slave labor to go get wood and to go get all these things to repair. So you're dealing with a big deal. So Gufa, Malik, Hashem, Shem, Shal, Shum, Shnit, Mesa, by it says, Mishmeh, the Chizkev, Rav, Amar, Amar de Rabbi Yitzchak bar Marta, Amar Afuna, name Afuna, Lashon will pass Avuchit Eloy. The only time you want to go use Truma Tumeya is bread, but not kernels of wheat. Why? What's the reason? Shema Yavu Bechem de Takala. You may come to eat it. In other words, if you're burning bread, if you take a piece of bread and you put the bread in the fire, it's disgusting. You're not going to. There's no concern. You may pick the bread of the fire and come and eat it. But if you're throwing kernels of wheat into the fire, you may come take the kernels of wheat out of the fire, and you may come to actually consume it. And that is that. That's why this is a sugi. This is a continuation of yesterday's daf that discussed the details of. He said yes. Yeah, yeah. This is a continuation of yesterday's daf of takola. You may come to be nichshol in eating truma tameya. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, even wheat is also mutter. We're not concerned. Kernels, we're not afraid your mother, because it was a snack. Tam Chazal, that was before all the candies, before the candy stores came along with all these kosher products. That was a snack. It was kernels of wheat you ate as a snack. No, we're not concerned. You may come to eat it. It's mutter. The Amai, Nechush, Vilmos, 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 Gemara says, Kedam Ravashi, Bish, Likosa. So again, Yeshiv Roish. Yeshiv Roish, like the Rebbe. So Gemara says, "Bishlikasa umi isasa." We're dealing over here with wheat. You're dealing with wheat. Also, you have the air conditioner blows right on you. You're good. We're getting over here. Wheat that has been soaked in water, or not really being cooked. You take these pieces of wheat and you cook them in water for a long period of time. Umi isasa, and they become disgusting. Look at Rashi. Lachash nishim nitmu sholkan. You cook it for a prolonged period of time in hot water. The akakach zarkan lebeno itzim. You throw it among the pieces of wood, the fire, and the heim neemosos to become disgusting. So basically, right. So the same thing as the bread. Just like the bread, there is no concern. You may come to the achila because the bread is disgusting. Once you put the bread on coals and fire, so too the kernels of wheat. Once you soak it in water and then you put it in the fire, it's disgusting. There's no concern. You may come to eat it. So therefore, basically, there is no machlekes. Hachinami bishli koso umi isasa. Period. Now the more sakash of hechit madravashi. Where Ravashi actually says halacha that if you take kernels of wheat and you soak it, it becomes disgusting. Aha, on the following halacha. Dem Rav Ravin Amar Rav. Here's the following ma'isa. Abashol Gabol Shol Beis Rebbe Hoy. This person whose name was Abashol, I think he was a famous person, Rabbi Gemara, he was the Gabol at Parnassa. He was the kneader. He worked for Rebbe in his home.
He was the kneader.
Kneader. He mixed
the kneader.
Basically, a baker. I mean, it doesn't say he was a baker, he was a kneader. He specialized in making dough. Go to the bakery, you know, different types of dough. They make he waits the whole year for Purim because he loves the dough of the Hamantashen. That dough is a different type of dough, different ingredients. And they don't make it any other product except for the Hamantashen. It's a type of dough. This Abashol, I can't really be true. I'm sure they use that same dough for other products. But this person, Abashol, he was the gabol, the kneader, Shol Beis Rebbe Hoya. Now he needed a lot of fuel. Can you imagine if you And they also use a bait. And he needed water. You need hot water to make dough. It's a technique. You go to the bagel store, right? You go to the bagel hole, and you see they have boiling hot water, and they soak the dough in the boiling hot water. It's a technique.
So it shouldn't rise too much.
Right. It's a It's a technique. And now, when it comes to chametz, pumfakert, you're very super careful not to use hot water. Mayim shalanu. That's all kachma, not too cold, not too hot, because it can make chametz. But he's not dealing with chametz. He's dealing with a professional baker, and he needs hot water. So you need hot water. You need fuel. It's a very big deal, and it's not fun to go out to the forest to chop wood to go bring in the fuel. So what do? Whatever you get your hands on. Whatever you get your hands on. So guess what? They got a shipment of Truma Tameya. Truma Tameya has to be destroyed. So while they're destroying it, we might as well derive benefit and use it to heat up the water to prepare the dough. Gabal Hoya, he was a Gabal Shabbat Rabbi Havayu Machanulai, and he, now here's the Chiddush, Rabbeinu HaKadosh ate Al Taharas HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is not a Kohen. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is from Shevet Yehuda. He was a Nasi. He was from Shevet Yehuda. So he's not a Kohen. But we know from Tamei Chazal that even Tzadikim were Nizar to eat their Chulin Al Taharas HaKadosh. Chaverim. Well, Al Taharas HaKadosh, why? It's a preparation for Kachan. Because if you bring a carbon, you got to practice the whole year round. Not only practice, there's something to it. Tumah. You don't want to take any Tumah. And more importantly, practice for Kachan. You go to the Beis Hamikdash, everyone has to eat the same Tara. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh, certainly, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, everything was in Al Taharas HaKadosh. He did not want to mistakenly eat. You don't want his food, his dough, his bread to become Tameh. So there's a real concern now. What's the real concern? If the baker is going to use fuel, grain, that is Tameya, and they get a shipment, a truck outside, rubbish removal, truck outside has a whole stacked all the way to the top, grain, Truma Tameya. So we're going to use it as fuel. You bring it into the basement, to the furnace, you light up the oven. Problem is, what's on top of the furnace? The pot of hot water, and they're making dough. It's very possible that the bread, the dough, will make contact at some point in time when no one's watching, when the guy comes to steal away from the pushka, he'll also rub against the kernels of grain, he'll go and he'll be metane, the dough. Oh, so what happens? Rabbeinu HaKadosh will be nichshel in eating bread that is not Al Taharas HaKadosh. So, could you do it? Would they take the risk? Was it kedai for them to take the risk? So guess what they did? With wheat of truma tameya, and they would heat up this water to knead dough, and the dough they would make would be made out of tahara, and they were not afraid that maybe the kernels of grain that were tameya would make contact with the dough. Why would this land nechul still ma osibul de takala? The Gemara says here is where Rav Ashi said his halacha. Before they brought those kernels of grain into Rebbe's home, they first cooked them. They overcooked them outside in the street in boiling hot water in order to remove them from the status of food. Once they become so soft because they've been overheated, it's no longer Amar Ashi. Bishlikasa umi isasa. They've been overcooked. They become disgusting, and now they're no longer food. Rashi here says, look at the Rashi. Rashi says over here, it's really the top Rashi. No, it's not the top Rashi. Okay, it's the top Rashi. La'acha shenitmu sholkan akach zorkan lebin eitzim v'heim ne'emosos. They become disgusting. It's no longer called the food. It's no longer called the food. Therefore, it's no longer mitamei. It's nice. It's more than not a food, not eat it. See, that's what the Gemara is making. The point the Gemara is making over here, it's a very big chiddush. The Gemara is saying that there it's no longer called a food and no longer has the ability to contaminate. Let me just...
Yeah, but at some point before Rebbe eats it, it hasn't become into a product again.
Right, well, no, that's... No, Rebbe's not eating this dough. Rebbe's not eating these kernels of grain. These kernels of grain are being used as fuel to heat up water. Rebbe is eating dough that came from kernels of grain that are 100% tahar. They're only using this grain, these kernels of grain that are tamei, shuma tamei, as fuel. The concern is that maybe the fuel may come in contact with the dough at some point in time. So the answer is no, it would never happen. Now this way he explains over here in the start of the Gemara. Okay, what he seems to be saying is that once it's disgusting, people, they distance themselves from it and there would be no concern that it would mingle with the dough. If it was edible, then you may make a mistake, you may come to eat it, you may eat it, put it on the table, you may come to touch other dough. But once it's disgusting, you distance yourself from it and there's no concern that you're going to make any contact with it. Okay, let's go weiter. Okay, Omar Abaya Bar Ovin. New sugya. Abaya, here I will go through a little bit of a story. Abaya Bar Ovin, Rav Chananya Bar Ovin. Okay, I guess they were two sons, right? Abaya and Rav Chananya. Tonu, their brothers are Ovin. Tonu Chumos Bei Rab. They learned Mesechta Chumos by Rab. Rab was their Rebbe. He had a special yeshiva, Brisk. They learned Kachan. And this yeshiva, they learned Kachan, they learned Chumos. Okay. Pogabu Rav Bar Masna. So they were Ben Azmanim, and they met Rav Bar Masna. Amaluhu, ah, you just came back from yeshiva. My amrita b'trumos to be mar. Tell me a chiddush you learned in the yeshiva. Amrulei, my kashulach. You tell us. We're not telling you a chiddush. You have a kasha.
Jew.
Well, the kasha will give you your kasha.
Kasha.
So amaluhu, ah, look who's here. Come. Air conditioner blows right over here on you. Come. Sit next to me.
It's a big difference.
Fall asleep. So he came over here and he said to him. Don't go and ask us. You have a kasha. Tell us a kasha. We'll give you an answer.
What's bothering?
Okay, here's what's bothering. Tell me that we done the Mishnah. Shesila means shoots, growths. Like little branches, little saplings that grow out of the ground. And they have chuma, shenitmu, so you cut it out of the ground and you dedicated these little vegetables, soft little vegetables, like let's say onions, little fresh, immature onions. You dedicate them as chuma, and now guess what? Shenitmu. They come in contact with tuma. So you have chuma tuma. So what do you do chuma tuma? You have to destroy it. Ushasolon, now I have a solution. I have to destroy it. Why should I destroy it? I have a better solution. I will replant it. Since they're very young and tender, I'll put them back in the ground. They'll take root and they'll continue to grow.
Especially onions.
That's true. Yeah, you put them back in the ground, they begin to grow.
Yeah.
So now, what is the Gemara's question? By putting it back in the ground, it begins to grow. The new growth will cause it, like Tchias HaMeisim, will take off the tuma.
Right.
The tumor will depart. Mm-hmm. When is something called tummy? When it's detached from the ground. Sun that's mechubel lekarka is not mekabel tumor. So therefore, shenit mu'ush solon tohirin milatame. So the halacha is, that's right, when you put it back in the ground, the tumor disappears. However, the asurin mil'echo, it's still osur to eat. It's no longer tame, but now the question is, who can't eat it? Here's the big dilemma.
Also to eat what?
Us. Let's explain.
The root or the root?
So let me lay out for you the Gemara in advance.
Okay,
let me lay out the Gemara in advance just to review you. So we'll run through the Gemara very quickly. Let's review what it says here. Okay, let's review the case. Very important to get the case. So hold off. Get this. You got to hold off in one shot. We have here vegetables. By the way, vegetables is not so posh, it's shum, it's only the rabban, it's not shum in that type, but let's assume it's shum, it doesn't make a difference now. You have vegetables, little saplings. It's impossible for something that's mechubel karka for two things to happen. The number one, it's impossible for them to have chuma. We learned that yesterday. Chuma can only be status of chuma when it's detached from the ground. Because it says the word dagon. Dagon means grain. But chazal darsh and digon. Digon means something which is piled up in a silo. So it is impossible for something that's mechubel karka to have the status of chuma. Number two, it is impossible for dag mechubel karka to be tameh. Doesn't exist. Everything that's mechubel karka is automatically tar.
Yeah.
So you have these little saplings, they grow, and you detach them from the ground. Now there's potential for two things to happen, for them to become tameh and for them to have a status of chuma.
Yeah.
Now, if it's chuma, who eats it? A kohen eats it. Can a Yisrael eat chuma?
No.
Also, chi misa b'nei shemayim for Yisrael to eat chuma. If the chuma becomes tameh, can the kohen eat it? No. It's also, he also can't eat it. So he's also chayiv misa b'nei shemayim for eating chuma tameh. So both things happen now. It becomes chuma, you dedicate a chuma, it becomes tameh. Okay? So now it's also for a zar, also for a kohen. You take it, and you replant it.
Right.
So it says to a very vague, controversial statement, when you replant it in the ground, tohirin, the tumma disappears. Once it reconnects with the earth, it's now mechubel karka. Mechubel karka, it's now mekabel tumma.
But how can you do that with tumma?
Why not? That's what it says. It says if you put it back in the ground, the tumma departs. I replanted tumma. The tumma departs. Now, that's what we're coming to. Wait, we're coming there. All it says here, I have this thing which is Truma and Tanea, I put it back in the ground. It says here in the Braisa, a very vague statement, which is the topic of the daf, exactly what you're touching upon, is number one, the Tuma departs. It's no longer Tanea, it is Tahira. Number two, it's still Asur. What does that mean? I just told you that when the Truma became Tameya, it was also for two people, two categories, two classes of society. It's also for a Tzar, because it's Truma, and it's also for a Kohen, because it's Truma Tameya. So it says here, when I replant it in the ground, the Truma disappears, but it's still Asur. We have yet to define who is it Asur for. So what are the possibilities? Let's just plot out the Gemara in advance.
So what is Asur?
To eat. It's Asur to eat.
What part of it is Asur?
The whole thing. The whole thing. Every little part of it. The part that's edible and the part that's not edible.
Everything. Even the new fruits that
Yes, that's what it seems to say. Indeed so. We'll get to that. Yes, let's assume even the new things, whatever develops, whatever further sprouts, if it's now 5 inches and it grows 6 inches, that 6 inches also asa. Yes, it's asa. Now here's the question I want to ask you. What a dilemma. When it says asa, maybe it means it's asa for a Yisrael.
Right.
Don't make a mistake and think that planting it in the ground is going to remove its status of Truma. It's now going to become Chulin. Oh, if it's Chulin, just like putting it back in the ground, you told me as a matter of fact that the Truma disappears the same way the Truma disappears, so too the Truma disappears. Because it's impossible for a Mechubal Karka to have the status of Truma. So it's now Chulin. If it's Chulin, it's Mutter. I would think, Kamash Malon, it's Asur. It still maintains the status of Truma. And it's Asur for a Tzar. But it's Mutter for a Kohen. Because it's Truma Tahira, right? The Truma departs and it's Truma too. So when it says Asur, it means it's Asur for a Yisrael, but it's Mutter for a Kohen.
But I had a different question.
Or maybe it means...
When are you allowed to take Truma and bury it?
You're not burying it.
You're planting it.
Why? Maybe that's exactly what it's teaching you, giving you a solution.
A little thing about physics. Before it takes root, it gets...
No, that's why it says here, Shasholon, that it's not going to rot. That's a seed. You're discussing a seed. If you put a seed in the ground, the seed, or if you take a branch, let's say you have an onion, like you said you have an onion, and you pull the onion out of the ground, and the roots are still attached. And then you go and you bring it home, you wash it off, and then you dedicate it, this is going to be Truma. And then 5 minutes later, you find the dead sheretz resting on it. So it's now Truma Tanea. You can go back to the field and put it back in the ground, and come back tomorrow, it'll take root. Yeah.
Also, that's not a way a Truma Tanea has to be burned.
I decided not to burn it. Maybe when it says it has to be burned, it's only bread. Yeah, we have to define halacha. Maybe when Chazal told us the Truma Tameya has to be burnt, bread. Because bread, you can't plant back in the ground. It's not going to grow. Never saw that. Does it work? You put bread in the ground, new wheat kernels grow? I don't think so. It has to be burnt.
But if you pull, the last time I tried it.
But if you pull... Take a box of Cheerios, right? Put it out, bury it, come back, and next thing you find some standing stalks of grain. But when you're dealing with an onion, you can go back and plant it, and maybe that's the solution. That's one possible interpretation of the Gemara. What's the other possible interpretation of the Gemara? When it says that it's Asur, now get this, not only is it Asur for Yisrael, because it's even Asur for a Kohen. Once the cheftza, you have Truma, right? Truma Tameya. Once it's Asur, it's Tameya, it's a cheftza di Isura. Once it's Asur.
A sheer logical thing, why would somebody do that?
Maisa shahoya kachoya. We don't have to, people do a lot of stranger things.
Okay.
Once it is a cheftza di Isura, once the chefsa di isura, in other words, it's tameya. That's it. It's a done deal. Tameya is tameya, and you know, even though you'll go and you'll take away, even if you will go, you will succeed. Even if you will succeed in taking away the status of the tumah, it's still going to be asur. It's still going to be asur midin, because once it's asur, it's always asur. So you plant it in the ground. Planting the ground is going to remove the tumah, but although you're going to remove the tumah, it's still going to remain in the status of iser. This is the Gemara's dilemma, and we're going to see the longest now to explain the possibilities of this idea. So here we go. So one more time, tanan. Okay, so it's about a third down. Tanan shesile tumah, saplings like a vegetable, an onion of tumah shenitnu, which became tamei, usha solon, and you planted it in the ground, tahorim milatame, it is tahor milatame, the tumah departs, but it says v'asurim lechol, it is forbidden. And that's our dilemma now. What exactly does it mean that it's awesome? Now here comes the Gemara's kasha. B'chimiyacha detahorim milatame, amaya asurim lechol. What's going on? The same way we planting this little sapling in the ground automatically caused the tumah to depart, it should also cause the prohibition of achila, whatever that prohibition may be, also to depart. Amrule, hachiyam araba. So this was the question that Rava Bar Masna asked the two sons of Rav Ovin. You spent this man learning by Rabba, Masech the Tumos. So nu, I have a shayla to ask you. Here's my shayla. Here's a Mishnah. The Mishnah differentiates between Tumah and Achila. Tumah goes off, Achila remains, Isra remains. Why is it Asar? Once, that was the question. Amulei, so the two Talmidim that spent their time learning Masech the Tumos by Rabba responded, Chochi Amar Rabba. Excellent question. When we spent this man learning in Yeshiva, he addressed this issue, and Rabbi answered, "My asurin, asurin lezorim." Enochnami, simple answer. When it says that it's also the first possibility in our dilemma, when it says that this, it still remains osur, it means remains osur for a Yisrael to eat, but it's mutter for the koyein to eat. In other words, why? Umay kamash mulan. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is gidulei truma truma. The Brayis is teaching us indirectly this halacha that if you plant truma, let's discuss a simple case, truma tahira. If you have in your possession truma tahira and you plant it in the ground and something grows from it, the growth also has the status of truma. So it's exactly what's happening. We have truma. Here is truma tamea, and you plant it in the ground and it develops, it grows. Truma tahira is a truma to truma, gidulei truma is truma. And as far as tumah is concerned, the tumah disappears, the tumah departs, because now that it's mechubur lekarka, that chibur causes the tumah to depart. Okay, so the question though is, if that's all the brides come to teach us, there's not telling me something that I don't already know. Tanina, we know this. We know the halacha, it's a famous halacha, gidulei truma truma. It's a mefarish b'raisa. Whatever you plant is truma, gidulei truma, whatever grows from truma is truma. So b'chi tema, you'll tell me gidulei gidulin. Maybe you'll tell me, the chiddush of the year is not only is what grows, but the gidulei gidulin, a second generation of growth. That even that's going to have the status of truma. In other words, it's one thing if you go, let's say you have an onion, right? Let's say you have an onion. And the onion, let's say the onion, I'm just making up crazy numbers and ideas, and the onion, let's say, it has a diameter of 3 inches, right? That's probably too small. That's 10 inch diameter of the 5 inch diameter of the onion. And now you plant it in the ground, and you come back a week later. And now the onion is no longer 5 inches in diameter, it's 7 inches in diameter. Big onions, whatever the case is, 7 inches. So the onion now has expanded from 5 to 7. Of course, big chiddush. Let's say this one onion has turned into 2 onions. That's spread apart. Even that's going to be aser. Gidulei gidulin. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi the Vatayish gidulei gidulin exactly. Look at the Rashi, Dibur Hamas. First of all, we're dealing over here with not dealing with seeds. That's an important condition, which the Gemara is going to make clear in a few moments. We're not dealing here with something which which decays like a seed, because the halach indeed is if you take a seed of truma and you plant and you put it in the ground and the seed decays and then from that seed grows grain, the grain does not have the status of truma. The halach of gidulei truma is only by things she'ein zaroi kala, whose seed does not decay. If the seed decays, then the growth is not truma. But something whose seed does not decay has the status of truma, not only the first generation of growth, even the second generation of growth. Rashi, number one, we're dealing with just not decay. Kegon bitzolim dakin, little onions. Shakarin tzivush. Achas levada, and when you plant one at a time, heinois sofois umis chabrois shisha v'dalud yachad, they add and they multiply to six shisha v'dalud yachad, six and four together. I'm not exactly sure what that means. V'hainu gidulei gidulin oisam hanoisvois aleihen shelo hayu truma meyolam. That's the first one. The gidulon atzman, I mean the new ones. Oisam shanoisvois shimom shelo hayu truma meyolam. Things that are completely new. Things that are brand new that come out of the original stem. You have the stem. The stem did not decay. The stem was just replanted and took root. And now out of that stem, new buds formed and produced new growths, new onions. Those are called gidule gidulon, things that never existed before. So that's the way the terminology has been used, a little bit different. The gidulon atzman, what's that? What's the first generation? Kegoin shisili kruv, the actual saplings of, here's another example, kruv is a melon. And if you have a melon, the melon expands from a diameter of 5 inches to a diameter of 7 inches. But the stalks that expand from the original stem, that's called gidule gidule. So what's the point we want to make over here? The point we want to make over here is that let's review what we have at this point in the Gemara. We have over here a brisa. And the Braisa says, or Mishnah, that if you have Truma Taneya and you plant it in the ground, so the Tumma departs, but it remains awesome. Rav Huna Bar Masna said to the Talmidim, I understand why the Tumma departs, because it is Mechuba L'Karka, but I don't understand why it's awesome. Why should this be awesome? So the Talmidim answered, when it says that it's osir, it doesn't mean that it's osir for a kohen. Of course a kohen can eat it. It's truma tahira. When it says that it's osir, it means it's osir for a zar, for a yisrael to eat it. Why? Because this is gidulei truma. So he said to them, oh, so you mean to tell me that the Mishnah is teaching me the halacha, gidulei truma is truma? I know that already. So what will you tell me? No, it's not telling me gidulei truma is truma. It's telling me in bigger chiddush, gidulei gidulin is truma. Even something which did not exist at all, it budded from the stem, even that's truma. So he said to him, the Talmidim, if that's the case, what's the chiddush? If the seed, the stem, the original stalk did not decay, and from that original stalk new things began to sprout, that's called what we call in our terminology here, gidule gidule, even that's going to be truma. Guess what? I know that already as well. Honami tanina. It's a Beferish Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hatevel, with regard to Tevel, Gidulav Mutarin. Now this means, B'davar Shezaroi Kola, if you have Tevel, what's Allah? Once you have Tevel, you bring the Tevel into your home, it's you have Meruach, it's also to eat. But if you have Tevel in the field, if you're working in the field and you want to take an Achila Sarai, It's not called a keva, because I'm working. And if you're snacking from the produce while you're working, that is called an achilas arayin, it's mutter. Let's say you harvest grain and you bring it into your home through the front door and you smooth it out. Now, now automatically it is osur for you to eat from that tevel, even achila sarai, because you brought it already into the home. Let's say you go into your home, you take it out of your home, and you replant it. By replanting tevel that's in your home back in the ground, you reactivate its old status, that if you want to eat from it arai, on a temporary basis, as a snack, it's mutter. When is it mutter? Hatevel, with regard to tevel, if you take it out of your house, even though now it's at a state when it's also tinarai, but you take it out back into the field, and you plant it in the ground, and it takes root, guess what? Gidulav mutarin, if you want a snack from it, arai it's mutter. When do we apply that rule that whatever grows is mutter? Bedavar shezaroi kola. Provided that you went out into the field, you planted seeds, and the seeds decayed. So now whatever grows is brand new. So that's brand new. So of course, halach is whatever grows in the field, the alani achisarai. Aval, but if you take from your home tevel that was already osur, achilasarai was osur, and the seed, it's not a seed, it's a vegetable, something of the like, where the stalk is there, and you plant it in the ground, and it takes root, and it grows, it's osur. Aval b'dover shein zarei kola. Look what it says. Afilu gidule gidule nasur. Not only if it grows from 3 to 5, from 7 to 5 to 7, but even if new things bud from the original stem, it's osur. Osur nachila. So what do we know? We can learn from the halach of tevel that the concept of gidulin is osur. Afilu gidule gidulin is osur b'dover shein zarei kola. So my question to you, Talmidim, are, that's what Rav Masna said to the Tons of Rav Avin, what is the Mishnah telling you when the Mishnah says that it's osur biachila? If you're telling me that your Rebbe said that it's osur for a zar and it's mutter for a kohen, but it's still osur for a zar because it's called gidulei tshuma, we know that. And don't tell me that this Mishnah is mechadish a new concept called gidulei gidul, because even that we know. So ishtiku. So over here, the Talmidim had nothing more to answer. So I told them, go get a refund for the tuition. You went a whole zman to learn Torah by the Rebbe. Rebbe didn't teach you, because I asked your kasha, you don't know the answer. Ishtik, they were quiet. So now they turned the table. So Amrule. So the Talmidim said, okay, you got us. You have the answer. Midi Shmilach, maybe you know the answer. Yes, the kasha me. So Amruluhu, I'll tell you the answer. Here's the real answer. Hachim and Avsheshis, Maya Surin, the second part of the dilemma. Asurin lakoy hanim. Note of the oyim, what a chiddush the Gemara is saying. I have truma tameya, I plant it in the ground. The planting in the ground is enough to remove the status of tuma, but it still remains osur. Once truma is osur, it's osur forever. Even if you remove the status of tuma. Asurin lakoy hanim. Why? V'yifsilu luhu behesach hadas. Whole new concept, a shasugya. There's something called, which now that opens up the next Shtil Gemara. When it comes to Tshuma, there's a concept called Hesach Hadas. Once you did not pay attention, you were not careful to guard your Tshuma, the Tshuma is Osur B'Achila, even if it will one day be discovered that it never became Tamei. Eliyo Hanavi himself will come and will testify Piruach HaKodesh that a Sheretz never made contact with the Tshuma. It doesn't matter. Once a human being was not involved in guarding it in a responsible way, it becomes Osur B'Achila. The Zel B'Zach. Once this tshuma now is tameya, it's mamish tameya, there can't be a greater hesach hadas than this. The classic,
because of a sheretz.
Because the mamish was a sheretz. A sheretz touched it. It's mamish, and you replant it. And when you replant it new, so you take away the tuma, gezun to hate. You can take away the tuma. Taking away the tuma is no better than Eliyahu Navi coming and telling you that it was never tameya to begin with. But you can't deny the fact that it was in a matziv, where you were miayish on it, where you totally, you separated your mind. And the Torah says, ushmartem is mishmarati. You have to be on guard. Shuma requires more shmir than matzah. We discussed yesterday.
So what would be of this shuma plant?
Nothing. It's shuma tahira, and it cannot be eaten.
No, let me finish. A cucumber,
Kureza. Yeah, okay.
And when you're ready to pick it, you see there's bugs all around.
But what is it with bugs? Not to do with bugs.
Can't be magdish it as truma while it's still connected to the ground.
No.
So what
might if you would take it off, you would harvest it, it will become tame.
Why will become tame? With the body within the body of shrotzim. With shrotzim, no. So you mean shrotzim, not bugs. Shrotzim. They say shrotzim. They're dead or alive.
They're dead.
Right? They're dead shrotzim. So take, before you detach it from the ground, you clean off the shrotzim so it's not going to become tame.
Before you take it off.
Of course. Okay. While it's mechbul karka, it's not mechabel tame. Okay. So therefore, now the Gemara says,
didn't they put their truma near the Sifrei Torah originally, and then they
made it at Karna? They put the truma. They made it so that since truma is kodesh and the Sifrei Torah is kodesh, that's where they did shmirah. That's the best place. Aron Kodesh, have a safe, right? A fireproof safe. No one's going in the Aron Kodesh. And then they say it's maybe good for the ganavim, but it's not good for the rodents.
Yeah.
They get in there. Okay. Vaita. Hinich. Now the more goes vaita. More now discusses in much more detail. Now that opens up the sugya, mamish, a shas sugya, a beautiful sugya of Hesach Hadas. Hinich l'man diyam Hesach Hadas poslim slaguf. The Gemara says a shapir. Now we have to understand the deep meaning of Hesach Hadas. The whole Hesach Hadas is slaguf. Okay, we understand. In other words, once there's Hesach Hadas, automatically the object is disqualified. Elaman diyam Hesach Hadas psul tuma have. It's only a technical problem until we resolve the issue. Why is Hesach Hadas? We have grain, and you did not guard it. Right, you have grain and you left it out in the street. You don't know what happened. You go away on vacation. You go away on vacation for 2 days, and you come back. Oh, look at that! The grain is still here on the street. So, but no one was watching the grain for 2 days. You don't know what happened. You don't know if someone whose tummy came along and touched it. You don't know if a dead sheretz made contact with it. So, that's called Hesach Hadas. So what's the problem? So according to the second opinion, its only reason why Hesach Hadas is a problem is because maybe it came in contact with Tumah. But if you are going to be able to be Mevarer that it did not come in contact with Tumah, then you can resolve, you can undo the Hesach Hadas problem. How can you resolve? Either Eliyahu HaNavi will come and he will tell his testimony that he knows that Piruach HaKodesh did not come in contact with Tumah, or you'll have some closed circuit televisions, whatever, you'll have some video surveillance for 24/7 that will reveal that it never came in contact with Tumah. So if that's going to be the case, where do we find this machlekes? The Hesach Hadas, machlekes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Heluk Rabbi Yochanan of Eretz Yisrael says psul tuma have. It's only a technical problem, and if you can resolve the technical issue, you can reverse its problem. Rabbi Shimon Lakish saw Amar psul aguf have. Rabbi Yochanan Amar psul tuma have. Shem Yevel Yov Yitarenu. Shem will be listen. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar psul aguf have. Shem Yevel Yov Yitarenu. Ein Shem Loi. So back with the kasha. Bishem Koyim Andiyam Netz Hesach Hadas psul is a psul of aguf. Even though now we plant it in the ground, when you plant it in the ground, you'll take away the tumah. So what? Taking away the tumah is no better than Eliyahu HaNavi coming and telling us it was never tumah. It's still going to be psul of sechadas. The mail, it's going to be aser. But if you don't like Rabbi Yochanan, psul of tumah, then we got back the kashas reinstated. That though now when you plant it in the ground, the same way the tumah departs, the hesechadas departs. It's mutter for kohanim. So why then does the Mishnah say that it's aser? And don't tell me this answer that it's aser for zorim, because if it's aser for zorim, that's the principle of gidulin is aser. Or gidula. Now we already know that's already been the stud with gust. And the Gemara now, before we get back to our Gemara, the Gemara goes through the sugya. And the Gemara goes through the sugya. The kash is right. The kash is the shock for time between the yochanan and shlokish of Hesach Hadas. Here we go. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan loshim and lokish. Here's the kasha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Yochanan Barikoy Mer Lul Kot. Look at the halachah of the base Hamish. We have to remember we're crossing the line here. We're going to Kachim. Okay, so I'm giving you advanced. Right. This is with the next Amud Gemara. So you'll know the whole next Amud Gemara in one shot. Now we're going to discuss the sugya of Hesach Hadas by Kachim. And the Gemara is going to make a major assumption. The same exact law that applies to Kachim applies to Truma. But we know the Gemara's answer in advance. You can't compare apples and oranges. The laws of Hesach Hadas by Kachim possibly are much more strict than the laws of Hesach Hadas by Truma. Okay, so but right now the Gemara does not want to know that. The Gemara now wants to assume that they are exactly the same. So we're going to come up with the Hechet Himsof, Hesach Hadas by Kachim, and we're going to prove that it's a Psul HaGuf. We can automatically assume it's going to be a Psul HaGuf when it comes to Truma. So here we go. We know that under the Mizbeach, there was a Lul Katan, right? Like that hole over there. Right? That's under the steps, right? When you go out over there, there's a hole, there's a window over there, there's a lul katan underneath the ramp that goes up the Mizbeach. Lul katan hoya ben kevesh, between the ramp la Mizbeach, the maravah shel kevesh, on the west side. The west is towards the entrance. I'm sorry, that's the maravah is towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. On the side that's near the Kodesh, the Heichol, the maravah shel kevesh, shesham hayu zorkim psul hachatasayif. Now, if you have a chatasayif, we're going to see in a moment soon what the case is. But we have a bird, and the bird, the chatasayif, became disqualified. So what do you do with it? You got to burn it. Not so fast. You can't burn it right away, and we'll see in a few moments why. So in the meantime, we want it to become nicer, because it's like it's not here and it's not there. It's too early. It's not possible to the degree where we can burn it. Where we can burn it now, but it's not kosher where we can eat it. A chatas oif is eaten by kohanim. It is eaten. Oilas oif is burnt. The chatas is eaten. The oil asif is burnt. The chata soif is eaten by the kohanim. So the chata soif, it's not in a state where it can be burnt, and it's not in a state where it can be eaten. So what are we going to do with it? It's no man's land. And we'll discuss what the case is exactly. So we do nothing. We just let it sit around and wait until tomorrow. Now what's tomorrow? Tomorrow it becomes possible by default, because it's now no sir. And when it's no sir, what do you do with no sir? You burn it. See, if the chata soif became tamei, let's say the chata soif became mamish tamei. Sheretz touched the chata soif. It's mamish tamei. So what do you do? Burn it right now. Don't waste. Don't sit around. Twiddle your thumbs. Burn it immediately. But if you have a situation where it's not mamish tamei, but it's not kosher for consumption, for whatever reason, we'll discuss the case in a few moments. It's nishtahi nishtaher. We can't burn it right away, and we can't eat it. So the default is let it just sit around, and we'll wait until tomorrow morning. And tomorrow morning it becomes nicer. And when it becomes nicer, it's nicer. So now you got to burn it. So where do you put it in the meantime? Where do you store it in the meantime when it's nishtahi nishtaher? You store it in a shelf, in a cavity called the lul katan, a little hole, a little window underneath the rim on the mizbeach on the west side. Lul katan haya shahaya haya bein akevash mizbeach b'marvish mizkevash shasham haya zorkin psul chatasayif. Then what would they do? They would wait. They went to the one who to ubar tsurasan. Their form would become disfigured. That's a very fancy way of saying it turns into noisar. Okay, that's an expression. And then tomorrow morning, the yaitzim lebeis hasreifa. Now, what's going on here? Iyamarti b'shlema psul tumahavei. What's the psul? Now, the Gemara is going to assume, make a major assumption now. Okay, we're making a major assumption. What is a hecha timsa where it's nishtahi nishtaher? It's not mamish tamei, but it's not fit for consumption. Give me an example. If it's tamei, if a sheretz touched it, so destroy it. If a kohen had a machshav of pigle, I'm going to eat it tomorrow for breakfast. Pigle is tumas haguf. Burn it right away. Don't wait till tomorrow. What's the problem here? So it's not pigle, it's not tamei, so it's good. It's good, eat it. What's the hechetim? So the answer is, no one was watching it. No one was watching it. You have the bird meat, they did the malika, they did the hazah and the mizbeach, and they put it down on the table, and then they went out for lunch. They went outside, they got a phone call. Important phone call outside. In the Beis HaMoikad. They go out to the Beis HaMoikad, you got a phone call, and you come back, oy gaval, no one was watching it. It was sitting here on the table in the Azara for 10 minutes, and no one was watching it. it's Hesachadas. Ah, Gvalk. Hesachadas. Hesachadas. So what's the law? Hesachadas? It's Puzzle. Now define for me the nature of Hesachadas. If you're going to tell me that it's a Pshlaguf, right? Which means it's not a matter of maybe it is Tomei, maybe it's not Tomei. If Eliyo Hanavi will come and tell me that it's Tohar, it's Tohar. If we'll have some video surveillance of what happened, we can be certain it didn't come in contact with Tumah, it's Tohar. Okay, that's a Sofik. It's a dilemma. So it might taka be Tohar. Oh, that makes perfect sense why we have to wait until tomorrow morning to burn it. Because maybe really it's Tohar. And if it's Tohar, you're not allowed to burn it. Maybe it's Tameh, you should burn it. Well, we don't know what happened. We got to wait until tomorrow. If Eliyahu Navi will come and tell us, we'll know that we can eat it right away. That's a tzad of Hesach Hadas, is Sofik Tumah, Sofik Tahara. But if you learn that Hesach Hadas is a psul haguf, if someone was not watching this meat for 10 minutes, that's it. Curtains. It's over. It's puzzle. Even if Eliyahu Hanavi will come, even if you'll have high definition video surveillance showing us that there was no tumah, it's not going to make a difference. It's a psul haguf. If that's the case, burn it right now. You don't need to wait until tomorrow. The fact that the Braisa says we need to wait until tomorrow is a clear indication that this is a psul of Safek Tumah Safek Tahara, not a psul haguf. No, good. So here we go. I understand. You have to wait until tomorrow. Why do you need a mitzvah? Do it right now. The Mishnah is the rule. Burn it right away. Right. If the psul is with the dam, that the blood was spilled. Okay, let's say the blood was spilled, or the balim became tamei, and the balim can't eat it. Now that's an example of a karm pesach. Okay, he did the karm pesach. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Abalim going to shnit mu balim the pesach kayim vein kamish yochlenu." Now the dam afal pi shapsul gomerhu. Even though the blood is flugam, I feel the walk yichol beino eino kebasar atzmai. When it comes to blood, dam is a psul guf, but the dam is not the basar atzmai. The just is a side question. So here the Gemara wants to know. So here the thing that it's possible, the Gemara says the case of is hesach hadas. That's the case of the ibut surah hesach hadas, and it says it needs ibut surah. And since we know that if it's tamei, it can be burned right away, we now have a raya that hesach hadas, the case that we're discussing here is the case of hesach hadas, and you need ibut surah, so we have a clear indication ibut surah is a safek tumah safek tahara. Because if it's mamish psul haguf, it will be burned right away, like it says here in the braisa, psul hagufa, yisraf miyat. Amalei, so here's the answer. The answer is, hai tana, tani be rabba bar avu, diyamar, afilu pigul ta'im ibut surah. No kasha. Be'emes, I'll tell you, hesach hadas, psul haguf. Mames, psul haguf. But this tana disagrees fundamentally with the whole principle of the braisa. Even if you have an example of psul haguf, the ultimate psul haguf is pigul. If the Kohen is a machshavik, why is that the other one? Because that's karis. That's the one there. That's karis. The other ones are not karis. If a Kohen, when he does the avodah, has a machshava chutz l'zman, the basar has a cheftza of pigul. It's the ultimate psul haguf. The ultimate. And yet, this tana holds, even a psul haguf requires ibur tzu'ura. Requires delay until it becomes noiser. So certainly hesach hadas, which is not karis, it's not namisha, it's not, certainly requires ibur tsura, even though we be MS hold hesach hadas is namisha psul haguf. It's psul haguf, not a sofet, psul haguf. And why do you need a b'tzura? Because we fundamentally disagree with this tana. We take a hold that even psulag of mamish requires ibutzura. Okay, so we're back in business. Next. Eisvei, next kash. Eisvei, nitma, nifsal. Here's new kash. Let's say the bus becomes tamen shenifsal, habasar. becomes tamei, becomes disqualified. Why would it become disqualified? Because of machshava, right? This machshava of koyin the beer machshava. Oyishiyatzu chutz l'kam, it leaves the azara. What's the law? Rabbi Eliezer, Oymer Yizrek, you can still do zrika, even though the bottle is no longer fit for consumption. Or to put in the mitzvah, you can still do zrika. Rabbi Shoy, Rabbi Shoy says lo yizrek, you should not do zrika. Uboy Rabbi Shoy, Rabbi Shoy admits. Even though he says you should not do zrika, he admits shem zorak hurtza, that if after the fact you made a mistake, and you did sprinkle the blood, you get credit. In other words, if according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you have a carbon, and the carbon becomes you have in front of you the blood, the nizrak of blood. Now, carbon is a lot of money. Let's say you have a big carbon. The carbon costs $100, and the kohen does zrika, the kohen does shtik, and he has kabbalah. If all the blood is ready to go, and here's all the meat, and now the basar is taken outside the azar by mistake. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, we tell the kohen, don't you dare do zrika on the mizbeach. Don't do it. And that means, what's the consequence? The Baalim, the owner, is going to have to pay another $100 for a new carbon. Okay? But let's say the kohen makes a mistake, and he does it. So Rabbi Loi Hurtza, in the case where it was taken outside. But even Rabbi Yeshua admits, even though Lechatilu, you should not proceed to do Zrika in a situation where the meat became Tomei, Tuma, and the kohen made a mistake and he did zrika, you save yourself $100. You don't have to bring another carbon. You get credit for the carbon. Why? Because of the famous concept of the tzitz is meratzeh for tumas mikdash v'kadosh. The fact that the tzitz exists, even in the box, the tzitz automatically makes things karbonos that are offered instead of tumah b'diavad kosher. So Rabbi Yeshua says, and here's the case. So we lose over the Gemara, the Raya. Rabbi Yeshua admits shem zorak kurtza. Now here's the problem. The problem is Rabbi Yeshua admits in two cases. He admits that it's good in the case of tumah and in the case of pasul. Now I slipped. I told you pasul means a machshava of chutz l'zman. No, that's not what it means. Pasul really means hesach hadas. So my nifsal. What is the case of nifsal that it's going to be good with the avit? La behesach hadas. It must be the case is going where no one was watching the meat. No one was watching the meat, and it became pasul hesach hadas. So what's going on now? If you're going to tell me that hesach hadas, what is the essence of hesach hadas? It's a safek tamei, safek not tamei. So then we understand why it's good b'diyah, because even on the tzad, the possibility that it's tamei, the tzitz is miratze on tumah. But if you're going to tell me that the essence of Hesach Hadas is that it's a psul in its own right, it's not a question of Tumah V'Tahara. Even if Eliyahu Hanavi will come along and tell us that it's Tahar, it's still Pasul, why is it Kosher B'diyevet? The Tzitz is only Meratzeh for Tumah. The Tzitz is not Meratzeh for Psul Yoytzeh. It's not Meratzeh for Piggle. It's not Meratzeh for Hesach Adas. If Hesach Adas has nothing to do with Tum, it's not Meratzeh. And my Hurtza. So Taka must be that. What is it? So what is it? It's what is it? It must be a Raya that Hesach Adas is soul of Tumah. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the Pshat. My, what does it mean, Nivsal? It means Nivsal, but Psul Yoim, but Tful Yoim, it means Tumah. It became Tomei, a Tful Yoim touched it. There was different types of Tumah. There's Tumah Chamura. Tumah Chamura is a Sheretz, makes contact with the Basa Kodesh. And there's a Tumah Kala, where it's a Shlishi, where a Tful Yoim touched it. The Gemara says, that's identical. There's repetition because that's what it is. It says nitma. Nitma is tuma. And now when it says nivsal, nivsal is oichet tuma. So you read this repetition. So Gemara says, what's so terrible? Shrei gavni tame. Two different types of tuma. There's a tuma chamura and a tuma kala. We're not discussing Hesech Hadas whatsoever. If Utaka were discussing Hesech Hadas, you would indeed have a raya that Hesech Hadas is a form of Tumah. We're not discussing Hesech Hadas, because they're not Hanami. Hesech Hadas, Psulatzmoy, Psulgufa, and it would not work. We're discussing a different type of Tumah. Okay, that concludes the one Sulman line, Kiyasolik, Ravin, Amr the Shmaitse, Kami to Yumi Abam, when he said the famous line, Babloitib show you foolish Babylonians. Mishum de Asa, Be'arich de Hashaych, you live in a dark land, Amritu and Shmaitse, the Mechash, dark words. Loishmilu, Hodam, Mishum and Lokish, Mishum and Rosha, Meachag, and he now goes through this concept of Zuria. And he basically says there's no such concept of planting, of taking pshuma and putting it in the ground and having that remove the status of tumma. Just like we're going to find when it comes to kachim, taking something and putting it in the ground is not going to remove the status of tumma with regard to kodesh. Taking pshuma and planting in the ground is not going to remove its status of tumma as well. And we'll discuss that. That's the next thing. Okay, we'll stop here.